So our devotion for tonight from our family Lenten devotional is going to be our devotional meditation for this service. And the title of that devotional for tonight is Satisfied. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied, Isaiah 53:11. That's a great devotion. And it is truly an answer for Sunday school kids. When you ask them, why did Jesus die on the cross to take away our sins? They'll say, because he loves us. And while that's true, there's so much more to it than that. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he was doing something very powerful. He was fulfilling what God had started way back in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, when mankind fell into sin and God came down, remember, I love that story, and Adam and Eve were full of shame. You know, shame, that's a bad thing, right? They were full of shame, and God says, "You, where are you?" Like he didn't know where they were. And they say, "Here we are." And he has that great interaction with them. You know, he asks Eve, "Who did this to you?" And she points to Satan. And then he asks Adam, "Well, who did this to you?" And he points to Eve, right? That's the way sin goes in our lives. We always blame somebody else for it. We never take the blame for ourselves. And then God did something miraculous. In Genesis chapter 3, right from the beginning, right there in the beginning, he promised that he would send us a Savior. Right after he said, "You've cursed the ground. You're going to toil, you're going to work, you're going to die, you're going to suffer. There will be thorns and thistles in your life. You're going to have a miserable existence. You're going to have pain in childbirth and all the wonderful things that come along in this sinful world." He then gives a promise. And this is his promise. He looks at Eve and says, "You will have an offspring that will crush his head," pointing to Satan. And pointing to Satan, he said, "You will strike his heel, but her offspring will crush your head." You see, in this plan of salvation where Jesus dies and rises for us, so much happens. In his death, ultimately he is showing his love for us, but ultimately in his death, he is recreating and restoring creation to a new beginning. Christ is the new Adam who has come into this world so that you and I may be made perfect and righteous in God's eyes once again. Not just loved, but perfect. You see, Luther calls it the joyous exchange. That when Jesus died on the cross, he took on our sinfulness and gave us his perfection, his righteousness, so that when God the Father looks at us, he sees us as perfect. He no longer sees our sin, which does away with shame in our life, right? Because shame says we are our sin. Shame says we are evil. Shame says we are bad. Shame says we aren't deserving. But God does away with all that as he claims us in baptism and reminds us of what he did for us on the cross and gives us the benefit of his death and his righteousness and his salvation poured into our life with the words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." But here's the amazing thing. When God created the world, he got to man, right? And before he created man, everything else, he said, "This is good. It's good." But when he created mankind, do you remember what he said? "This is very good. Very good." Why? Because we were created in his image. We were created to be perfect. We were created to walk with him. We were created to have eternity with him. And then we messed it up. We destroyed it miserably because of our sinfulness. And so Jesus came into this world to live the perfect life so that we might be perfect. To die on the cross, to shed his blood, to forgive our sins, and to make atonement so that our lives would be right with God once again. And here's the amazing thing that happens. God is not a liar. He looks down on us now because of the blood shed on that cross on the first Good Friday, and once again he sees us as his creation, and you know what he says? "They are very good. They are very good." Satan will try to trick us, and so will shame. As those things enter our heads that tell us we're not worthy, we're not good people, we're bad parents, we're bad spouses, we're bad this and we're bad that. That's the shame of Satan. But there's a voice crying from the cross that's even louder and more powerful than any voice that Satan can place into our head. And that is the voice of Jesus Christ, declaring us free, winning our forgiveness, and once again restoring God's favor upon us. So now he looks at us as he did in the beginning, and he says, "They are my children, holy and dearly loved, and they are very good."